Imagine buying a brand new $50,000 vehicle. You drive it carefully, you keep it totally pristine, and then 12 months later, you discover it has lost 47% of its value.
Right. And you didn't even crash it. The market didn't just suddenly decide it hated the model.
Exactly. The manufacturer just slashed the retail price of their brand new inventory so drastically that the resale value of your car essentially, well, it evaporated overnight.
It is a brutal scenario, but that is exactly what played out in the secondary market recently. I mean, it's the collateral damage of a company fighting for its life in this increasingly hostile global market.
Welcome to the Great Electric Vehicle Price War. So our mission for you today is to unpack this massive stack of recent reports, earnings transcripts, and market data.
Ranging from early 2024 all the way up to today, July 3, 2026.
We are tracking the wild, honestly kind of chaotic evolution of the global EV landscape. Specifically, we're looking at how Tesla is radically reinventing itself to survive.
And it really is a survival pivot.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because I'm wondering, are we watching the EV market's smartphone moment, like where traditional car companies are finding themselves in the position of BlackBerry and Tesla is frantically trying to prove it's Apple? Or, I mean, given the severe margin squeezes we're seeing in these reports, is Tesla actually at risk of becoming Nokia?
That smartphone analogy holds up remarkably well when you actually look at the raw data. Because when you synthesize these quarterly reports and the consumer surveys, they reveal a market that has completely bifurcated.
Meaning split right down the middle.
Exactly. We are witnessing a real-time shift from companies trying to manufacture and sell, metal boxes with wheels to companies trying to sell artificial intelligence ecosystems and global energy stability. It's a fundamental rewiring of the entire automotive business model.
But before we get into the mechanisms of that rewiring, we really have to look at the battlefield. And looking at the AlixPartners 2024 International EV Consumer Sentiment Survey, it is clear the battlefield is completely fractured depending on geography.
Oh, absolutely. The data shows a massive divide.
Like in China, which is the world's largest auto market, an astounding 97% of buyers surveyed said their next purchase was likely to be a pure battery electric vehicle.
Which means in that region, the transition is basically complete. I mean, it has gone fully mainstream. But if you contrast that with the U.S. data in the same report,
Totally different.
night and day, intent to buy a pure EV in the U.S. had completely stagnated at 35%. And the survey respondents were very, very clear about the friction points.
Yeah, they cited stubborn, persistent concerns about battery range and public charging availability, right? Both of those were sitting at 43%.
Exactly. Because of that infrastructure anxiety, 83% of those hesitant U.S. buyers started shifting their focus toward plug-in hybrids, basically treating them as a safer transitional step.
And I also noticed in the survey data that the US sales dip wasn't purely just about charging anxiety. The reports explicitly tie a portion of that stagnation to consumer pushback regarding the CEO's political activism.
Right, that definitely shows up in the sentiment tracking.
And just to be clear, our goal today isn't to weigh in on those politics from either the left or the right, but from a purely analytical standpoint, it is fascinating to see how highly publicized political sentiment translates into a measurable market force.
A force that ultimately pressured sales, yeah.
And forced the company to pull some very aggressive financial levers just to keep the metal moving off the lots.
That is the critical takeaway here. Consumer sentiment, whether it's driven by range anxiety or brand perception, it directly impacts demand. And while U.S. demand was stalling out, China was accelerating. Which brings us to BYD.
BYD.
By 2024, this Chinese manufacturer overtook everyone. They became the global volume leader for electrified vehicles, delivering 3.84 million units.
What is massive?
It is. They captured a 22% market share. But the real threat wasn't just the sheer volume, it was their pricing structure. By 2023, Chinese EVs had effectively eliminated the electric premium. On average, they were actually 6% cheaper than their gas-powered counterparts.
See, that is the part that gets me. If these Chinese EVs are so cheap and the tech is clearly highly advanced, why aren't they just flooding my neighborhood right now? I mean, the average consumer in the US or Europe would jump at a cheaper, highly capable EV, but the streets aren't flooded with BYDs.
Well, what's fascinating here is the underlying geopolitical chess game. Because it's not a free market where the cheapest, best car automatically wins globally. Supply chain regionalization and heavy protective tariffs are basically walling off markets.
So the US and Europe throwing up tariffs to slow them down.
Exactly. They implemented steep tariffs on Chinese-made EVs to give their domestic legacy automakers breathing room to catch up. But, you know, the global supply chain is like water. It finds a crack.
Right. We're seeing reports of automakers like Stellantis actively exploring Canadian production facilities as a backdoor.
Yes. Attempting to manufacture Chinese-partnered EVs there, with the eventual goal of slipping them into the U.S. market under more favorable North American trade conditions.
So it's basically a geopolitical game of whack-a-mole at this point. But the advantage Chinese automakers have isn't just cheap labor. Reading through these technical breakdowns, there is a massive battery chemistry war happening right under the hood.
A chemistry war that fundamentally shifted the economics of the whole industry. You see, historically, Western automakers relied heavily on NMC. That's nickel manganese cobalt batteries.
Because they get better range, right?
Right. They chose NMC because it offers very high energy density, meaning more range per pound of battery. But cobalt and nickel are incredibly expensive.
And prone to massive price swings.
Exactly. Mm. Not to mention, they often involve highly problematic, controversial mining practices.
Which push Chinese manufacturers toward a totally different tech, LFP or lithium iron phosphate.
Correct. LFP uses abundant, cheap materials, just iron and phosphorus. So it is significantly less expensive to produce. It degrades much slower over thousands of charge cycles, and the thermal runaway risk, the fire risk is inherently lower.
So what was the patch? Why wasn't everyone using LFP from the start?
The historic trade-off was that LFP lacked the energy density of NMC. You just couldn't drive as far. But Chinese engineers cracked the structural packaging.
By redesigning the cell-to-pack architecture.
Exactly. They essentially crammed more active battery material into the exact same physical space by removing deadweight packaging. That bridged the range gap. BYD mastered this, which allowed them to slash retail prices while still maintaining healthy profit margins.
Which put an absolute stranglehold on Western competitors who were still relying on those expensive NMC cells. Mm. And that brings us to the squeeze.
The great margin squeeze of 2024.
Yeah. Facing this barrage of dirt cheap Chinese competitors on one side and hesitant Western consumers turning to hybrids on the other, Tesla's volume was threatened. And in automotive manufacturing, if your factory volume drops, your unit economics just completely collapse.
You're paying the same overhead for fewer cars.
Right. So they pulled the only lever they had left. They slashed prices. In 2024, they cut prices by $2,000 across the U.S. lineup and by 14,000 yuan for the Model 3 in China.
And we return to that 47% value drop you mentioned at the very start of the deep dive.
It's just brutal.
It is. When you slash new car prices, the used car market implodes. It destroys consumer trust when a vehicle is no longer viewed as a relatively stable asset. Furthermore, these aggressive price cuts absolutely tank Tesla's gross automotive margin. It dropped all the way down to 14.6% in the second quarter of 2024.
Which was a devastating five-year low for the company.
Yeah. Combine that shrinking margin with a global cost of living crisis, pushing buyers toward budget brands, plus the brand perception issues we touched on earlier.
Yeah.
People were actively writing obituaries for the company.
But, and this is where it gets crazy, looking at the newly released Q2 2026 data from TradingView and The Guardian, the narrative flips completely.
A massive turnaround.
They just crushed expectations. They delivered 480,126 vehicles in the quarter. That is a 25% jump year over year.
And the geographic breakdown of that rebound is particularly telling. Europe came back incredibly strong, largely driven by corporate fleets electrifying to meet regional emissions mandates.
What about China?
That's the standout metric. A 22.5% sales jump in China. It indicates that the brand backlash is cooling, and their refreshed vehicle lineups, particularly the updated Model Y, are holding their ground in the most viciously competitive EV market on the planet.
Okay, but if you are an automaker, cutting retail prices to boost volume is a dangerous game. Like a retail fire sale. It burns your early adopters who paid full price, even if it clears out the inventory. I'm looking at these 2026 delivery numbers, and I have to ask, is it actually sustainable to slash prices just to keep the lights on? Did they just sell 500,000 cars at a loss?
Well, they were only adjusting the retail price. Yes, it would be a direct path to bankruptcy. But the financials reveal the underlying survival mechanism. While they were lowering the price for the consumer, they were ruthlessly driving down their cost of goods sold.
They're codging.
Yes. By the fourth quarter of 2024, Tesla actually managed to push their Kaizen per vehicle to below $35,000, partially offsetting the price cuts.
But how do you strip that much cost out of a car that's already in mass production?
It comes down to manufacturing physics, specifically scaling their 4680 battery cell production. A 4680 cell is physically larger, which means fewer cells to assemble, fewer connections to weld, and less packaging weight.
Right, fewer moving parts, essentially.
Exactly. But the real holy grail of that cost reduction is the dry battery electrode coating process. Traditional battery manufacturing requires massive, energy-intensive ovens on the factory floor to literally dry wet chemical slurries onto the battery foils. It takes up huge amounts of space, time, and electricity.
So by mastering a dry powder coating process instead, they essentially delete an entire expensive wing of the factory.
Yes, they shrink the manufacturing footprint, speed up the line, and the cost per vehicle plummets. That is what allowed them to absorb the retail price cuts without going completely into the red.
That is wild. But you know, even with those manufacturing breakthroughs, selling cheap cars is still a brutal, capital-intensive, low-margin business. If I'm looking at a balance sheet, the automotive side looks like a constant headache of global logistics. Meanwhile, the sources highlight a massive, stealthy segment of the company that is just exploding in the background to buffer their profits.
The energy generation and storage sector.
Yes. A lot of people might not even realize this is driving the company's financials right now. The growth trajectory is staggering. In Q4 of 2024, they deployed a record 11.0 gigawatt hours of storage. Fast forward to the Q2 2026 data, and that number jumped to 13.5 gigawatt hours in a single quarter.
Their dedicated megafactories in Lothrop, California, and the newer facility in Shanghai are churning out commercial megapacks and residential power walls at an unprecedented scale. This raises an important question about global energy consumption.
Well, to understand why it's such a big deal, I think we have to look at how absurdly inefficient the traditional power grid is. I like to think of the grid like building a massive 10-lane highway, because once a year on Thanksgiving weekend, there's a huge traffic jam. The other 364 days of the year, 8 of those lanes are sitting totally empty. It's a colossal waste of capital.
That is a highly accurate way to visualize baseload versus peak load. To prevent blackouts, utility companies have to build and maintain peaker plants, usually these expensive, dirty natural gas facilities that only spin up to handle the absolute peak energy demand on the hottest afternoon of summer or the coldest night of winter.
And the rest of the year, that expensive infrastructure just sits idle.
Exactly. But massive grid-scale battery storage like these megapacks completely changes the math. You don't need the 10-lane highway anymore. You run your efficient base power plants at a steady, predictable rate all year round. In the middle of the night, when wind is blowing but demand is low, you store the excess energy in the batteries.
And then in the middle of the afternoon, when everyone turns their air conditioning on, the batteries discharge into the grid. It's just pure energy arbitrage.
And it fundamentally alters global energy economics. Allowing grids to run at a steady state changes everything. Plus, the most telling detail in these earnings transcripts isn't just the profit margin on those batteries. It's the fact that Tesla's energy business is currently demand constrained, not production constrained.
Wow. Meaning they literally can't build them fast enough.
Right. They're building massive factories, and they still cannot manufacture them fast enough to satisfy the orders coming from global utility companies.
Which brings me back to my earlier point. Wait. If this energy business is growing this fast, is highly profitable, and has basically unlimited global demand, why doesn't Tesla just stop the headache of making cars and become a massive utility company? Fighting BYD over a few hundred dollars of margin per sedan seems like a huge distraction.
Because the cars are not just a retail product anymore. If we look at the strategic roadmap, the cars are actually a Trojan horse. I would describe them as a distributed nervous system.
A distributed nervous system, meaning every vehicle is a sensory node.
Yes. The millions of cars sold, even if they are sold at lower margins during a price war, are gathering the exact resource Tesla needs for their ultimate end game, real-world data.
So every time a consumer drives to the grocery store in Ohio or navigates a snowy roundabout in Norway, the cameras and sensors on that car are collecting edge case data.
Exactly. Beamed back to the central neural network, they are transitioning from an automaker to an artificial intelligence and robotics powerhouse.
And this brings us to the ultimate shift. The cars aren't just vehicles anymore. They're data gathering nodes feeding an AI engine. The capital expenditure numbers prove this isn't just a side project. Tesla's CapEx is expected to triple to $25 billion in 2026.
You do not spend $25 billion to tweak the suspension on a hatchback. You spend that kind of money to build unprecedented AI infrastructure.
Right. And the cornerstone of that infrastructure is the Cortex cluster located at their Texas Gigafactory. The sources detail a supercomputer cluster utilizing 50,000 H100 GPUs.
And for you listening, an H100 GPU is the absolute gold standard chip for artificial intelligence. It doesn't run software in the traditional sense. It performs the massive, complex matrix multiplication required to train neural networks.
And you need that staggering level of compute to digest the 3 billion miles of real-world full self-driving data gathered by the fleet. The AI needs to recognize the difference between, say, a plastic bag blowing across the highway and a piece of concrete.
And the result of that compute is a rapid acceleration in their FSD capability. In late 2024, they reported their autopilot technology was driving 5.94 million miles between accidents. For context, the U.S. average for human drivers is one accident every 0.7 million miles.
But wait, we've seen other companies try to conquer autonomy and fail spectacularly. General Motors couldn't make this work with Cruise. They spent billions, put driverless cars on the streets of San Francisco, and ultimately had to ground the fleet. They got bogged down by regulatory nightmares and technical roadblocks where the cars would just freeze up at intersections. Why is Tesla so confident they can dodge those regulators and technical roadblocks?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the critical difference lies in the fundamental architecture of the AI. Companies like Waymo or Cruise traditionally relied on heavy geofencing. They had to map a specific city down to the centimeter, and then programmers wrote millions of lines of specific code for specific driving scenarios.
Like, if X happens, do Y.
Exactly. Tesla abandoned that approach in favor of what they call an end-to-end network. It doesn't rely on state-by-state coding, but pure data.
So instead of programming a rule book, they are building a digital brain.
Right. It mimics human intuition. Video from the cameras goes into the neural net, and steering braking commands come out. When you or I drive in a new city, we don't need a centimeter accurate map. We just look out the windshield and react. The end-to-end network does the same thing, trained on millions of examples of human reactions.
Which means it scales instantly. Once the digital brain reaches a certain threshold of reliability, millions of existing cars become autonomous overnight via a simple over-the-air software update.
And that instant, global scale dictates their new product roadmap. Tesla is actively phasing out their traditional luxury models, the Model S and Model X, to focus their manufacturing capacity entirely on three future products.
Which are the highly affordable next-generation compact car, the Cybercab, which is a dedicated robo-taxi with no steering wheel or pedals, and Optimus.
Optimus being the humanoid robot. They are taking the exact same artificial intelligence brain that learned to navigate complex city streets, putting it into a bipedal robot and asking it to navigate factories.
And eventually, our homes. The reports say they are rolling it out for internal factory use in 2025 and external customers in 2026.
This level of autonomy is what drives analysts like those at ARK Invest to assign a theoretical $5 trillion future valuation to the company. They are banking on a future built on benign AI, leading to a post-scarcity age of abundance led by Optimus.
You know, in one of the earnings calls, they used an analogy to describe this robo-taxi network that completely shifts how you view a vehicle. They called it an Airbnb on wheels. Imagine your car out, earning money for you 24/7 while you sleep. You buy a car, drive it to the office, and instead of sitting in a parking lot depreciating, it autonomously leaves to go give rides to strangers.
It transforms a liability into an income-generating asset.
Exactly. So what does this all mean for you? Let's connect the dots of the journey we've just mapped out. We watched Tesla struggle through a brutal Chinese-led price war that threatened their survival. We saw them survive by cutting internal costs, buffering their wallet with massive energy storage deployments, and betting their entire existence on a future where cars drive themselves and robots build our goods.
It is a remarkable high-stakes pivot. But I want to leave you with a final provocative thought to mull over, drawn from a brief mention in the sources. The transcripts mention that Tesla has engaged in preliminary talks about licensing their full self-driving technology to other major automakers.
So letting competitors use the neural net brain they just spent $25 billion training.
Yes. To do so, those competing legacy automakers would have to physically install Tesla's AI computer hardware and camera array into their own vehicles. What happens if Tesla's end goal isn't actually to sell you a car at all? What if, a decade from now, You buy a Ford, a Toyota, or a VW, but the underlying brain driving it is licensed from Tesla. Could Tesla transcend being a car company entirely and become the Windows operating system of the entire global automotive industry?
That fundamentally changes everything. That is a massive thought to chew on. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep your eyes on the road and definitely keep an eye on the robots. Until next time.